You're listening to All Things Cage at Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and this week we'll listen to an archival recording of the very first performance of John Cage's 33 and a Third, a work that premiered on November 21st, 1969, at the University of California, Davis, as part of a larger event entitled Me Want a Music Day, a title apparently inspired by a remark reportedly made to Cage's favorite author at the time, Henry David Thoreau, by a Native American guide, Me Wantum Moose. Cage was a guest lecturer at the university for a single semester, and in addition to his classes, he and his co-director Larry Austin, well known as the co-founder and editor of the important avant-garde music periodical Source, Music of the Avant-Garde, programmed a campus-wide day of events that comprised a variety of performances and sound events by Cage and other campus composers and artists that took place at different locations both on the campus and in the vicinity. Cage gave readings from his diary, How to Improve the World, You Will Only Make Matters Worse, and also presented several concerts of works by Eric Satie, notably an 18-hour and 40-minute long performance of Satie's piano composition, Vexations, in which Cage took part. 33 and a Third was a new work by Cage, and it was the principal event of his residency at UC Davis. The piece was scored for 12 turntables, 12 stereo amplifiers, 12 pairs of speakers, any 300 LPs, and the audience functioning as participant performers. Cage acquired the 300 LPs by calling a local record store and asking the manager to choose and sell him any 300 records representing a wide range of musics. According to a contemporary report on the event by John Dinwiddie, an accomplished pianist and former student of Cage's who made his living as an engineer, the records seemed to be those which the music store might find difficult to sell. There was no seating in the hall, and anyone entering could freely circulate and play any record they chose on any available turntable and in any way. Most of the time, the result was a complex collage of music. However, he said, at one point during the evening, an older gentleman proceeded to turn everything off, only to have them turned on again by another more gregarious member of the audience. Cage was pleased with the results. At the end of the evening, most of the records had been appropriated by the audience participants, evidently to be added to their own private record collections. Cage didn't seem to mind. Cage's own comments about the work were as follows. In 1969, at the University of California, Davis, I arranged an event called 33 and a Third, which consisted of an auditorium with 8 sound systems, the sound sources being recordings played on playbacks. Each playback had a technical assistant who did not himself play the records, but who was available in case a member of the audience had difficulty in doing so. For the audience were the performers. Without them, nothing was heard. 33 and a Third continues to be a favorite of concert attendees and participants alike, largely because of its participatory essence. In 1989, curator and collector Rene Bloch invited Cage to re-present the work as part of Broken Music, an exhibition of records and record objects by visual artists at the DAAD Gallery in Berlin, coinciding with the 1989 Berlin Festival of New Music. This time, 100 LPs, without their sleeves and with their labels blacked out, were provided for gallery visitors to play on turntables placed on white gallery plinths of varying heights. The installation was preserved after the event, and it is now part of the collection of the Museum of Modern Art in Nuremberg. 33 and a Third was also mounted at SUNY Purchase's Neuberger Museum in 1981. And in 1990, within Montreal Musique Actuelle in Quebec, as part of the 11th New Music America Festival, at the Musée d'Art Contemporain's Broken Music Exhibition. In 2007, it saw a week-long installation at White Box in New York City. Part of White Noise 2, itself part of the second Biennale of Performa 07, curated by White Box director Juan Puntis. White Box put out a call for loans or donations via email lists and Craigslist, and collected an eclectic range of audio equipment, ranging from toy record players to professional DJ rigs, along with a motley collection of unloved LPs, these LPs being then laid out on a kind of catwalk. On opening night, four members of Share, a local improvisational and predominantly electronic art community, led the performance. Over the rest of the week, visitors to the gallery joined in the unpredictable lineup of random performances or just listened. In 2012, John Cage's centennial year, an installation was mounted at the Akademie der Kunst in Berlin as part of its exhibit, John Cage und. And in 2012, we also saw an unusual installation of the work at the Tampa Museum of Art, the brainstorm of guest curator Jay Dellinger. But more on this later. More recently, 33 and a Third was performed by Maria Chavez and audience at Black Mountain College and Art Center as part of the celebration of its 25-year anniversary. And on November 1st, 2019, the Glasgow School of Art hosted a performance of 33 and a Third, which they dubbed a portable music circus, that was part of a day-long and citywide recreation of Cage's Me Want a Music Day to mark the 50th anniversary of Cage's UC Davis event. This was a collaborative endeavor celebrating the ideas and works of both Cage and Cunningham, and involved the University of Glasgow, the Glasgow School of Art, and Glasgow Clyde College. The entire event was the work of the Scottish writer, my good friend Victoria Miguel. Now, on to an archival recording of the very first installment of 33 and a Third, which, again, took place on November 21st, 1969, at UC Davis as part of John Cage's day-long event entitled Me Want a Music Day. I might add here, apropos the subject of the last two programs of All Things Cage, wherein curator Julie Lazar and I looked at Cage's concept of the circus, with emphasis on its role in his only composition for museum entitled Roly Holy Over a Circus, that 33 and a Third is another really good example. It was created 2 short years after Cage's first so-titled composition, Music Circus, itself a collage event mounted in 1967 at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. This was a grand, collaborative, public event that consisted of the simultaneous and non-hierarchical presentation of many of Cage's compositions, involving hundreds of performers, and lasting for nearly 5 hours. The Music Circus was also a family-friendly endeavor, one where audience members were free to come and go, and to walk about and talk throughout the performance. By nearly all accounts, this was a lively, noisy, and wildly successful social as well as musical event. 33 and a Third is itself a kind of music circus for recorded sound, taking its shape entirely by chance, as it is spontaneously created anew each time it is performed by members of a participatory audience. For Cage, who was ever experimental, the effect of any circus is, of course, collage. And as he once said to me in response to some silly question I asked, well, for heaven's sakes, anything that is modern is surely collage. Lastly, for Cage, the music circus was also a way of not so much removing intention, but rather turning intention toward non-intention, since any music circus is a simultaneity of unrelated intentions. Tune in next week for a conversation with Jade Dellinger, director of the Bob Rauschenberg Gallery at Edison College in Fort Myers, Florida, whose 2012 installation of 33 and a Third at the Tampa Art Museum I noted earlier took an unusual form. Dellinger invited a host of well-known contributors to bring some of their favorites into the mix. This is surely a very good example of what John Cage is doing now. Now on to 33 and a Third. Note that this is an excerpt from the original performance. The work is itself indeterminate in length, but the original event was scheduled for 4 hours.